Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I never had meetings with Russian operatives or Russian intermediaries about the Trump campaign.
That right there, Sessions, of course, this all blew up yesterday. I've got a lot of tweets, a lot of calls, a lot of people angry with me. Some people support me. Some people understand. I always say keep an open mind. We may not agree on everything, and I tell you that. We don't have to agree on everything. We can look at things differently, but we don't need to yelp at each other and say horrible things because that doesn't improve anything. That doesn't move the ball forward. How you doing? Happy Friday. It's the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Can I just say something? Yesterday, when I felt that Sessions needed to recuse himself, that I think that maybe, just maybe, it got away from him a little bit, and that looking at everything that took place, people, of course, came at me. I started getting tweets and stuff, and, you know, like, I'm against the president. Look, you can be both for the president, and you can be critical of them, right? You don't praise everything your child does. Sometimes your child does something that deserves a little critical talking to, that you're allowed to criticize, that you're allowed to say, I don't think that's a good idea, that you're allowed to say, it's the same thing. He's my president. I want my president to succeed. I said yesterday, never once, everybody's like, you called Jeff Sessions. I never said he was a liar. I said maybe he left something out, but he didn't tell the whole truth. But he gave a vague answer, and it didn't look good. And because he was a surrogate, and because there's this investigation going on, and because of the optics, he should step away. That's it. We need to stop the us versus them, because it doesn't help anybody. Look, I don't think Jeff Sessions, I want to believe that Jeff Sessions didn't do anything wrong. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. That when he met with these people, he didn't do anything wrong. In saying that, I am completely fine saying, while I believe he didn't do anything wrong, I think it's best that he recuse himself, which he did. Man, you would have thought I wanted the president impeached. The way some of you acted out there, the way some of you came at me, as if I was criticizing you personally, which, again, it is totally fine. We can disagree. What I don't agree with is the attitude that some people have, because I've got a lot of text messages, and you sit there and you think, I think you've texted me before, and you agree with me in some things, and now I'm a bleeping a-hole. Yeah, I'm not buying that. Stop taking things so personally. Please, stop taking things so personally. I think Sessions did the right thing. I think this administration needs to button things up. I have been a supporter of this administration, but I will not be a voice for the administration, which is what a lot of people out there want. They want you guys, all of you, you want to be validated in your thought process. Stop being that way. Be independent in thought and mind. Be independent in thought and mind. Be open to the fact that maybe not everything is always above board. That's all. That's it. Simple as that. But I like it. Come at me. That's fine. Call me. Challenge me. Some people call me today and challenge me, you know, sending me text messages. Perfect example is somebody sends me a text message, says that all of this was about the BuzzFeed. You didn't play the whole clip and blah, 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 and Al Franken. And I was laughing because the whole clip is basically Al Franken saying, look, here's the deal. We just got breaking news from CNN and BuzzFeed. I'm not going to ask you to respond on any of these things. It's breaking. You're sitting here in front of me, Sessions, and you don't know what any of this says. So it's hard for us to say you should respond to this in this way. But I will say, if somebody within the campaign had contact with the Russians regarding the campaign and regarding all that was going on, what will you do? And that was his response, was, I was a surrogate and no, I've not met with anybody, kind of thing. It's crazy. But I've learned after doing this business for so long that so many people out there hear what they want to hear. And then if you put something in front of them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could put something right in front of them and say, this is the truth. These are the numbers. This is what so-and-so said. This is the truth. And if they are so dead set against it, even with the truth put in front of them, it doesn't work. The left does it. The right does it. Both sides. It's usually the far on either side that does it. Got to be smarter than that. That's it. Look, there's a report out right now. Now, this is coming from the Media Research Center, which is right-leaning. Understand that. But they say that 88% of broadcast news from CBS, ABC, and NBC has been hostile to Trump. Right-leaning means they're coming at it from a conservative viewpoint. Let's just say I cut 15% off of that because some of it might be made up. There's no doubt in my mind that at least 6 out of every 10 stories have been hostile. There's been some neutral and then some positive. But yeah, they've been far more hostile. I will admit that. And I have been a supporter of Trump and this presidency because he's my president. And guess what? If it was Hillary, I'd be a supporter of Hillary. I will criticize her, but she's not here. That's what you do with your president. You support your president. To want your president to fail is foolish and stupid. People hit me up, Chad, what about the leaks? Yeah, well, let's talk about the leaks. These leaks need to stop. That's what everybody's saying. They're never going to stop. There were leaks with Obama. There were leaks with Bush. There'll be leaks with the next president. That's part of what DC is. It is a giant, huge sieve, right? Things get out. Things, you know, you're always going to have that. If I was President Obama and I'm going to combat this and if I'm President Trump and I'm going to combat the hell out of this. Because see, President Obama had it different because while leaks may have come out, the press may not have chased certain things. They let it die because there is certain agendas out there for some of the media, not all of them, like everybody like to have you believe, but there is some agenda out there for some. But if I'm President Trump, maybe I start leaking fake stories. Maybe I start giving them things to chase that they can't validate. And when they start going out there and saying certain things and publishing certain things, I say, I gotcha. Because that's fake and we got it out there to you. What that does is it makes everybody else's leaking stories under suspicion that the stories they're leaking may not be true as well, which puts them on the back foot. Which makes them, as journalists, have to chase the story longer to validate where the leak's coming from. And if this person that's leaking the stuff, hey, he's right on, she's right on, or this doesn't seem right. Why not? If you know the leaks are going to happen, why not let the leaks happen? If you know the leaks are going to flop out there, why not let them flop out there? If you know the leaks are going to continue to permeate through the media and through DC, then just let them go, become a part of it, play a cat and mouse game, all the while you're doing your stuff and you know the truth. Problem solved. And then it starts making the media have to do extra homework to make sure that the story that they're talking about actually has merit. It's just a thought. That's it. Just a thought, people. Nothing wrong with a thought. Absolutely. Makes the fake news thing come alive, doesn't it? Knowing full well that you're the one who's faking the news. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Also call the show, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344. Coming up, lots of stuff, urban word of the day. We got the phone calls of the week. You're going to love this. A lot of phone calls that have come through that we can't get to. Phone lines sometimes get busy. Sometimes things happen. People leave messages. We've got a funny phone calls of the week. And we're going to talk about the complacency of America and Americans. Really good book coming out. And just very interesting and very right on. I think you're going to like this. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
He has proved that he is unqualified and unfit to serve in that position of trust.
This is Nancy Pelosi. She reached back from beyond the grave to say that Sessions is unqualified and unfit to be in the position he's in. I do not believe that, Nancy. I don't think he should. He recused himself. He shouldn't resign, period. Stop asking everybody to resign if you don't like it. Jeez. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Brad in Georgia, what's happening, man?
Oh, doing great. You?
I'm doing great, brother. It's Friday.
All right. All the Republicans decide they want to lock Hillary up. Why doesn't Trump just go ahead and try to do it? Maybe that would shut the Democrats up from trying to put everybody else out of the office.
You know what? I don't think there's any political points in the game for them. I think the whole thing is to let her go away. I think if she was loud and she was in their face all the time, I think it'd be a different story. But she's kind of made herself pretty much scarce. So I think there's nothing there for it. Now, if they found something, and Sessions very, very well opened some sort of investigation into that, maybe, you never know. But I don't think there's any political points in it for them. So I think they're just going to ignore it and try to do what they can do, you know? Not a big deal, though, but I get where you're going with that, man. You know, at some point in time, why don't you do something back to them, see if it shuts them up. I appreciate your call. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show. Let's get busy and do a little urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
I got a great soundbite that I think will go perfect with the urban word of the day. This was the president yesterday talking about, it wasn't the commissioning of it, but it was the Gerald R. Ford's brand new ship's going to be rolling out. And this is what the president had to say.
We will give our military the tools you need to prevent war and, if required, to fight war and only do one thing. You know what that is? Win. Win.
That was him yesterday, and we've got the perfect urban word or phrase for the day. Coffee house commando. Coffee house commando. What is a coffee house commando? That is somebody who sits there at a Starbucks or one of the coffee houses, talks about what the military should and shouldn't do, having never once served anywhere at any time for anything, as if they actually know. Coffee house commando, your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Cranium is stretched, kids. Absolutely stretched. What do you think of that? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. It is, again, you know, this whole thing, you know, you've got, there's some stuff out there about Pence and his emails. This is what you're going to have now moving forward. There's going to be fights at every turn. There's going to be the Democrats are going to push. The Democrats are going to continue to push. They're going to search high and low for everything. They're going to take an anthill and try to make it a mountain. And this is what's going to happen. Because that's what you do when your party is not in power. You've got to show that you're doing something. See, we want our politicians to get along to a certain extent, right? So they can get stuff done. That's what we want. That's what we say in theory. But you also want your politicians, the people that represent you, to fight for the things that you believe in, why you put them in office. You fight the good fight, and then you realize you may not win every fight. And you're going to have to give in at some point in time. That's the problem. Neither side wants to ever give in on anything. The Democrats are out in the cold, big time. They're out in the cold. They've lost, what, 1,000-plus seats from the time Obama took office? If you look nationwide on everything, they've lost governors. They've lost all kinds of seats, you know, all through state Senate. I mean, they've lost a ton of stuff. Right now, they're truly out in the cold. So they're going to fight. They're going to push. They're going to do all they possibly can to do what they think is right for their side. That's why you're going to get, every time something goes a little south, they're going to complain. Every time they feel that something doesn't seem right, they're going to complain. Every time they think they catch somebody in some sort of lie or half-truth, they're going to ask for a resignation. This is what they're going to do. And it's going to happen over and over again. And you've got the next 4 years. 4% growth, 5, 7, 8% wage growth. Cut the regulations. Do all you can to fix and or replace Obamacare. Take care of defending our country and immigration. You're good to go. Period. I mean, there you go. There you go. Problem solved. Don't care at that point in time what anybody says. That's it. And the news will get boring after a while. Even Jimmy Kimmel came out the other night and says, you know, the problem is people are going to have fatigue. After a while, you make fun of somebody long enough, it becomes fatigue. I agree 110%. Do what you're supposed to do. Get the government out of the way of the entrepreneurs. Get the government out of way of businesses that are trying to grow but are stuck because of regulations. Let them create the jobs, which you'll get credit for. Let them create the growth in wage, which you'll get credit for. It's a win-win. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program 323-538-2423. Call us 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Tyler Cowen's going to... he's going to unleash some fun stuff on us about why America has become complacent, and I agree with it all. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I have not met with any Russians at any time to discuss any political campaign, and those remarks are unbelievable to me and are false, and I don't have anything else to say about that.
It was Jeff Sessions yesterday again. People are still up in arms. Some people are mad at me, feeling like I should be apparently, you know, at Jeff Sessions' side and protecting him from all kinds of stuff. I had an issue with the way he said something. I don't see anything wrong with that. We're allowed to have our differences, right? 844-DIG-CHAD. Phil in Santa Barbara, what's happening?
Yeah, hey, Chad. Not much. I was listening to you yesterday, and you know, I wanted to talk about the word lie. I'm not a lawyer or anything, but I believe lie, you have to have intent to deceive. I don't know if that's true, but I believe that is. And what I heard yesterday is I actually hadn't really read or looked into what Jeff Sessions said, but I did after listening to you, and I believe he misspoke. I believe that's a better way of saying it. And to be honest with you, Chad, I did hear you use the word lie yesterday in describing what he said. And then shortly thereafter, you walked it back and said the optics weren't good. And so,
yeah, the optics weren't good. I mean, you could be standing there and say, somebody could say he lied and you could say he misspoke. Either way,
well,
whatever happened there, depending on what side you're on, you know, and look,
well, I'm on neither side. I'm like you.
Yeah, and I'm on neither side either. I don't think he did anything wrong. But the optics don't look good. And, you know, one person tweeted yesterday. He said, you know what, he should have phrased it better. And he should have said, but I did meet with the Russian ambassador on Senate business. Boom, his ass is covered, and that's it.
Right, and I think it's very easy to misspeak at times. But if you're intentionally trying to deceive someone, that's a lie. That's my
point. Yeah.
I don't think
And here's the other thing they're talking about is there was a questionnaire before this by Senator Patrick Leahy in which he wrote down, no, he didn't meet with any Russians. So therein lies another issue that's going to have to come out here over time. So also writing it and then saying it, now you're in a different situation. I don't think he did anything wrong. But we'll see what happens. I think he survives this, but it's going to be a rough ride for the next couple of days, man. I appreciate that. Thanks so very much. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. A very interesting book that's out called The Complacent Class, right? Like, are you complacent? I'm complacent. You're complacent. I mean, are you happy? Are you, we all kind of complacent in life. I think a lot of people are. Why is that? Great. It's just so interesting because I've said this for years that fear is the number one stopper as it comes to all of us here in America anymore. Fear. And Tyler Cowen, who is he's a professor at the University of George Mason, he was speaking today talking about how the complacent class, how a self-segregation is leading to stagnation in this country. And what he said I found to be spot on.
We have much less urgency about improving the world. We seek safety and security above all else. For each individual, this may seem to be a rational decision, but the long-run result is that society as a whole becomes less dynamic, we're less able to pay our bills, and we have less social mobility. And that's the world we're seeing today.
That is true. We have less mobility because we choose to have less mobility. We are very complacent in a lot of things we do. We're not dynamic like we used to be. A dynamic country where things were humming and buzzing, people were trying. Now you've got Silicon Valley. Outside of that, what else do you have? I mean, if you think about the hub of America when it comes to the coolness of America, what else do you have? Silicon Valley's probably it. Entrepreneurship is down tremendously. We don't try like we used to. People live and work for the weekends. We are not what we once were. And I can't blame that wholly on government. I think we've become complacent because we are, especially a younger generations, they've stopped trying. Government's done some stuff when it comes to entrepreneurship because they made it so hard you don't want to do business anymore. But for a lot of people, it's a fear factor. People are afraid to try. People are afraid to do anything. We used to be dynamic.
If you go back to the 1960s and 1970s, America was a much more dangerous place. In some ways, it was also a lot more dynamic. People decided they wanted to reinforce safety above all else. So we over-medicated, up letting our kids play outside. We're now moving across state lines at a much lower rate than ever before. So many features of our culture, they're really directed toward digging in and staying at home.
Oh, God, that is so true. That is so true. I don't know how many friends I have that, close friends, friends I would consider as close as my family, who live in the same areas within 15, 20 minutes, if that, of where they grew up. Very little risk-taking. Everything is just status quo. And they had dreams. They wanted to do things as kids. And as they got older, yes, you grow up and some of those dreams may change, but they stopped dreaming and just started wanting to survive and live. And, you know, their dream wasn't to have a business or thrive or to write a great book or to be a rock star or to do any of those things. Their dream was maybe one day I'll buy a house. I don't get it, but it's the fear thing. I look at it because I've always been the risk it to get the biscuit kind of guy, right? Go big, go home. You know, I may lose, but I'm going to lose big, right? I'm going to lose spectacularly, but I'm trying. You got to ask yourself, if you are on your deathbed, have you lived the life you wanted to live? Are there things in life that you have regrets about not doing? I think the answer is yes for a lot of people. I'll look back at my life and I'll say, did it. And I one of my best friends in the world, when I was 16, I go play soccer in Europe. He came with me, spent a couple months over there. He says to this day, it's his biggest regret because he had opportunities to go back and he didn't want to. I don't ever want that. But as human beings, I think that's what we've become. This complacency that we have right here, as Professor Gowan talks about, this complacency to just be comfortable. Where did that come from? We used to be risk takers, you know? Whether it was the settlers coming here, whether it was people going west, whether it was people going to space, we were risk takers. Starting that own business, writing that book, going out there and saying, you know what I'm doing? I'm quitting my job and I'm going to do this. I know I can do this. People now are terrified to try something. I don't know what it is. He's got some interesting to say, too, about the economy, which I think he's spot on about.
Startups as a percentage of overall business, that's been declining since the 1980s. So many of our economic sectors are barely moving forward. So planes don't really fly any faster than they did, say, in 1970. So we're seeing an America that is stuck. And in some parts of the country, you could even say it's moving backwards.
Yeah, very much so moving backwards. You know, this whole thought process of bringing your jobs back to the Rust Belt, that is a reach, right? When you think about it. Now, you can bring some jobs back. But I have said all along, if you want to look at where the middle class is going to thrive in the going future, it isn't from sitting inside of a factory all day, working till 5 o'clock, collecting your paycheck on Friday and hanging out with your families and hoping to buy a house. It's that those days are long gone. Now, you can bring some back, but you can't bring enough back to satisfy. What you do is you promote the tech side of things, and through the greatest invention in our modern lifetime, which is this thing right here, the internet and the computer, there is your technology, there is your manufacturing, there is your money and middle class right in front of you. Reaching back from a day gone by, that doesn't work. It may for some. But if Trump, the whole thing about Trump bringing jobs back to this country, he is going to have to. The way a president, first of all, you and I create jobs. Government can squash the creating of jobs. Government can hinder creation. And government can help by getting out of the way. That's how he's going to help. He'll get credit for it if it goes well, and he'll get hammered for it if it doesn't. But in the end, it's about you and I. In the end, it's not about anybody else. It's about you and I, and it's about taking chances as Americans. What have you always wanted to do? Have you wanted to write the great novel? Have you dreamed of being a screenwriter? Have you hoped one day to start your own small business? What is it that you've wanted to do? Go back to college, become a lawyer, become a doctor? What is it you've wanted to do? That's the thing that we used to have in this country. We used to have that want, that drive. Everybody had a little dream inside of them, and they figured at some point in time, I'm going to chase this thing. And yes, sometimes life gets away from us. But what's happened now is people have allowed fear to kill the dream before it ever gets big enough to actually make some noise in your brain. I couldn't imagine that. The other thing is dreams take work. And I think the complacency comes with the fact that we're a little bit lazy. We don't want to work that hard. We want to be whatever it is that we want to be. We don't want to take the time and the effort to make ourselves that. We want it like that, instantaneous. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I look at it and say, I am never complacent. I think that is, to me, when you become complacent in life is when you start to die. That's me. Other people are fine with that. They like the work-balance life. They like all these kind of things. For me, sorry, it's going forward, it's moving forward, it's working hard every day, it's doing something, it's trying to achieve, it's always trying to grow. And I think we're missing out on a lot of that anymore because we don't have that same spirit. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Ah, yes. The Chad Benson Show, brought to you by Little Charo, who's going to be on, Charo's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, because it has become the love boat of the 2000s. Then, to reach back from the days gone by, to bring something back that I may actually watch, ABC is revamping and revving up a return of this amazing, incredible 70s and 80s TV show.
The home grounds of the spectacle that is about to test the strength of great men and women. The celebrated and the famous all gathered together in combat for one ultimate prize, rulership of the airways. For this is the battle of the network stars.
We'll take some network butt.
The network stars. God, that was great. I love that show as a kid. And it's still playing, I think on like TV Land, they play it every once in a while, or one of those where you can go watch the reruns of. And if you don't remember it, it is. So they fly all these stars out to Hawaii. They compete. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was ABC, CBS, and NBC, and they take on each other in physical events, tug of war, football. There was the, they would put them in a pool and they'd have like a canoe and they'd have to row back and forth. And it was funny because you have actors who are very non-athletic, right, facing off against each other. So even the easiest task seemed to be extremely hard for a lot of them. But it was back in the day, you had Linda Carter and Farrah Fawcett, Ron Howard, Tim Matheson, Rob Reiner, back in the day when he could do stuff. Kurt Russell, Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, Tom Selleck. Oh, yeah, the mustache. William Shatner, Michael J. Fox. The thing about it that was hilarious is if you look back, like, it really kind of, if somebody was cool and he was a badass on TV and then you saw him run in dolphin shorts and he wasn't very masculine, and he, you know, he looked like a dork, then you realized, well, this isn't good, right? Now this will live on forever. I just want to see how you're going to get people to compete. That's what I want to see. How are you going to get them to compete? Be very, very interesting. I love it. I can't wait for that. Elton John is upset. Not a shocker. He loves being pissed. He's mad because as he turns 70 later this month, he's got a book coming out saying that Radio America, Radio in America, Radio America, but Radio in America is ageist and is not playing his music. And he thinks it's ageist. He believes Madonna feels the same way. She said, I thought it was discriminatory and unfair. We've made so many advances in other areas, civil rights, gays, but ageism is still an area that's taboo and not talked about and dealt with. Radio 1 DJ Scott Mills defended the decision of why they don't play some of this music. They said if you ask a 70-year-old about Madonna, they don't care. It's a sign of the times. Things change. Generational. You need to learn how to adapt or you die. Case in point, Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart realized that if you think I'm sexy isn't cool anymore when you're 70 years old. So he went and he started doing standards. And guess what? He got a second wind. Tom Jones had a little run there for a little while, but then you get to the point where you are somewhat cool again, right? You get a run, somebody like Tony Bennett, right? Lady Gaga. How about Paul McCartney with Kanye? Here's the other thing, Elton. Your music kind of sucks. You were great once. You're a great songwriter. But your music nowadays does not compete to what the younger generation's listening to. They want you off their lawn. They like Lady Gaga. They like Kanye West. Right? They like Chris Brown. They like Katy Perry. You adapt or you die. You know what's funny is I think rock and rollers, more than pop stars, hold on to it better. Right? Because I think you look at the Stones are still rocking. By the way, the Stones haven't had a hit in years. Their music doesn't really get played if they do a new album. Right? They still do it. Because it's all about them touring at that point in time. But look at AC/DC. AC/DC is still rocking, and it was still rocking until some of them got, like, you know, Alzheimer's and went to jail for trying to kill people and couldn't hear anymore. But they're in their 60s and still rocking it, selling out arenas everywhere, and their music was still somewhat relevant because they sounded like they sound. There was a sound. You were a pop star once that's now having to compete against 23-year-olds, and it's not working. It's not. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Phil, we should do Battle of the Network Stars, radio edition. We would crush it. I was at the gym today. My skills are mad. Mad crazy, baby. Mad crazy.
Sit on the sideline and keep score.
You can do that. Happy Friday. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.